Welcome to Growing Tall Poppies, Thrive After Trauma. I'm your host, Dr. Nat Green, and I am so excited to have you join me as we discuss what it means to navigate your way through trauma or significant challenges and not just survive, but to thrive after it. This is a space for people who've been through trauma or adversity, have done some healing, and know they're meant for more than just coping. This podcast is about post-traumatic growth, not getting back to who you used to be. Rather, understanding who you are now and learning how to stand tall without shrinking, forcing, or abandoning yourself. Here we explore identity after adversity, integrity, and visibility wounds. Nervous system wisdom, and what it really takes to move forward. Here we explore identity after adversity, integrity and visibility wounds, nervous system wisdom, and what it really takes to move forward in a way that feels aligned, embodied, and true. You will hear a blend of deep solo conversations and powerful guest interviews with people who have lived this work, not just studied it. Because growth doesn't come from pushing harder, it comes from understanding how you adapted, honouring your nervous system, and gently updating the old agreements that no longer fit the life you're ready to live. If you're ready to stop hiding, stop performing, and start owning who you are becoming, then you are in the right place. Let's grow tall together. I'm really excited today to bring you our next guest on the Growing Tall Poppies podcast. It's my absolute pleasure and privilege to welcome a beautiful lady who I've recently been introduced to, who is nothing short of inspirational and amazing. She's had considerable trauma experiences, and through these has found her calling and is a wonderful example of a tall poppy, constantly shining her light brightly despite her adversity and making a difference in the lives of so many people. And she's generously offered to share her experiences and many words of wisdom with us today. So let me introduce Jodie Jolene to you all. Jodie is a health expert known for helping people age healthier, banish bloat, IBS and other chronic health issues for good and reclaim their health permanently. Doesn't that sound exciting? Jodie suffered for years with chronic health issues that no doctor could ever fix, and with a belly so bloated she always looked 9 months pregnant. Through discovering her own methodology, she went from looking very pregnant to a flat stomach, lost the weight and tapped into the secrets of getting healthier as you age. Jodie figured out how to master her own health, and she is now teaching others to do the same. So welcome, Jodie. It's so great to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here. I love talking about this.
I'm excited to hear and learn from you. So I know we could all do with a lot of information, particularly around our gut, because really is the key to so much.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So how about we start with you giving us a brief introduction of who you really are in the world before we get into more of what you do?
Yeah, well, the first thing that just popped in my head when you said that is health nut. Like people called me that since I was young, because I've been really into health and self-development since I was like in my early 20s. And so I've always been, I actually was influenced by something that happened, I think maybe I was around 12 or 13 years old, and I was in this hospital where it was a hospital for people that were sick, but it's young, old, and they literally lived in hospital beds. And so we'd go visit them. And I remember, like, I totally remember this. Okay. And I blocked out 95% of my childhood from trauma, but I remember this. I will never end up in a place like that. Yeah. And that was like that strong intention really made health my number one value in my life. So Everything I like when I do things, it's like I think about long-term health, you know, like how I'm going to be down the road because of that influence that I had at that age. So, yeah, health's always been my passion.
And that must have been so confronting at that young age to see people like that and for it to have had such a lasting impression.
And that's this world. So many people are not in good health. Like the majority of people are not in good health. And I say, like, if our system worked, why are people so unhealthy? Like, it's not working. So we've got to do something different. You keep doing the same thing over and over, you're going to keep getting the same results. And, you know, so many people have, this is an old statistic. One out of three have cancer and one out of two die of heart disease. And that's an old, like 20-year-old statistic. I'm sure it's worse now. And that doesn't even count all the other chronic issues. That's
Exactly.
crazy to me.
It is.
That's
And
it. Yeah.
it's very timely that we're having this conversation because I was looking online, I think it was just yesterday, and a couple of people that are very health focused in my world on my social media posted about how the US have finally leading the way with turning the food pyramid upside down, which we've been saying for a very long time. And it's like, wow, that's a start. Now over here in Australia, we need to follow suit.
It's we're an unhealthy the US, a lot of unhealthy foods and stuff for sure.
It's not just
But
the
the other thing
US.
is this, I think it's the, well, I don't know, like it, I do you get a lot of pesticides and all of that? I'm sure you,
Yeah,
it's pretty well,
definitely.
worldwide. But the other piece that people miss is the emotional energy of wounds and trauma. And like I said, I, you know, grew up, I blocked 95% of my childhood out. I still don't remember, and I healed my trauma, you know, and that's what showed up in my body looking 9 months pregnant. I didn't know. Like I remember when I was going through all my health things with my gut, it was like I looked 9 months pregnant, but that, I mean, nobody wants to look like that. No woman wants to look like that. But it was also like I would be curled up in a fetal position in pain. I couldn't go places. Sometimes I couldn't stand up straight. Like I'd walk like because the pain was so much, I couldn't breathe. I spent hours and hours and hours and hours a day in the bathroom. Like I had no life because it when you don't feel well, it takes over your life.
Oh,
And that
definitely.
And so it's like I remember going, I don't know, I know health. Like I know health. Why can't I heal this? That's kind of where I was. And then it wasn't until I actually ended up with an abusive narcissist because that's the pattern,
Of
right? Because
course.
I had done a lot of self-development and healing and, you know, healing shame and different things. But there was another level that I did not get to. So when I had gotten divorced and I was like, oh, freedom, you know, like this is going to be great because, you know, I'll find a really good relationship eventually, you know, but my focus at that time was raising my daughter. Well, then I attracted an abusive narcissist.
Oh dear.
And oh my God, it like brought me to my knees. It was so bad. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to have a breakdown. You know, like I literally could not take it anymore. I hit rock bottom. And then I said, night call and never call me again and hung up, you know. And that was the, and of course he tried calling.
Of course he
But
did.
and so that was my rock bottom to start to go deeper within myself to heal wounds that I didn't know were still running me.
So let's unpack that because there's, I'm sure, a lot of gold in there. And I know a lot of our listeners will relate because they send me messages talking about, narcissistic abuse
Oh, it's
and
horrible.
past, childhood trauma obviously features significantly with a lot of listeners. So You mentioned that, you don't remember 95% of your childhood. So there's obviously lots that you've blocked out for very good reasons. So there's childhood abuse and trauma. And then you were married and that broke down. And then you attracted another abusive man, so a narcissist, who then layered in more abuse. So what did you think was happening? Or what did you think was wrong with you at the time?
Oh, I thought I was a piece of shit. I thought I'm damaged goods. I mean, I had shame. I couldn't look men in the eye ever. I kind of discovered that myself because I would say I went to the gym and a guy would go by me and he would look and smile and say hi, and I would immediately look down. I probably had done that for years, but not, I didn't know. Once I became more self-aware, I was like, oh my God, I just looked down immediately. Well, that's shame, right? You know, right there, that's shame. So I'm like, oh, I have to stop doing that. And so I try to keep the gaze longer, you know. And so I eventually, now I have no problem saying hi and all that, but I realize, wow, look at that. There it is. Because my journey in this life is with men, because I was abused by men as a child. So yeah, that I definitely had that shame of even looking a man in the eye, because it takes you over, you know? And I forgot your question. I
Oh
kind of
no.
got it.
And again,
Okay.
this is all part of it. So we've talked about it being layered. There was trauma after trauma. So you recognize, you had that self-awareness to recognize that you were looking down and there must be an issue with that. What else did you think was going on when you're walking around looking 9 months pregnant and you're not really sure why in all this pain? What did you think was happening?
Well, I knew, so I do talks. I've taught like health and nutrition my whole life, and I used to do talks saying, you know, what the mind harbors, the body will manifest. And it like I knew that, you know, and so yeah, stress affects the body. But man, I didn't really get it because when I healed, like I was in shock. Like, oh my God, what happened? You know? So it's like you know it, but there's another embodiment level of it. It's a different energy. The knowledge, the
Absolutely.
mind, completely different energy. Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff that we talk about and in my work is really, and we've already talked about that before we got on here, that our mind, we intellectualize everything. We try and make sense of it. We analyze because that's
Yes.
how we've been raised. It's all around getting an education, doing this, going to the right schools, getting qualifications, all that sort of stuff. So it's all been about intellectual. And then this other stuff, as we know, our mind processes things, but it gets stuck in our body and our nervous system. And if we neglect that or shut it off, which we do because we have the three brains, the head, the heart, and the gut, at least one of those when we've been through trauma, let alone layer after layer after layer of trauma, at least one of those will shut down. So you weren't getting the messages, you were just stuck in your brain, in your head, and not connecting from your body, yeah?
Totally, totally. Yeah, that because you have to disconnect when you have trauma.
Absolutely.
So, and you don't know it. You know, you just don't know it. And you don't know how much you're not connected to your body until you are connected.
Yes.
Because when
So,
I healed, oh, sorry, were you saying something?
no. So I was going to say, so what changed for you when you started to do the work and recognize that disconnect? How did you heal?
So I started to go deep into myself and say, why did I let a man abuse me? Because he did it to me, but I allowed it. And so taking ownership of your world and what you do is huge, because we can blame everybody. That's not going to get you anywhere, because everything comes from within you. And it's your energy that you're putting out. that
Yeah.
it's almost like I'm wearing abuse me on my forehead, you know, because that's what was happening. And it's the energy. And so a narcissist can spot a codependent, you know, that
Absolutely.
it's energetically like a magnet. And I was told once, you're severely codependent. And I'm like, what? Oh, that was hard to hear. But it's like, yeah, so what you're putting out is attracting what you're getting in your life. And so you have to own that. And it's like, I could have walked away, but it was my value I had for myself. I didn't value myself like that. Like, I ain't taking that. But I'll tell you, a man like that would never show up in my space. I do not vibrate, resonate on that level anymore because I healed it. It's impossible because of the frequency that I'm on now. But at the time, that's what I get, you know? So I had to own it. I had to heal that at a deeper level. And then I also self-love. Like I mean, I thought, well, you know, I love myself, whatever. But I remember hearing somebody say, I deeply love myself. And I thought, what does that even mean? You know, it's like, what? I know now because I deeply love myself.
Having had no one to model that as a child, of course you didn't know it. So whilst you're
Yeah.
saying, yes, we're responsible for ourselves, I absolutely agree. But sometimes if we haven't ever had that modeled, we don't know what we don't know. So you
Yeah.
had to go inwards, look at what
Yeah.
was really going on, and clearly you had the awareness and the insight to do that because
Yes.
you wanted it to be different. Whereas I know a lot of people won't ever get to that point, sadly.
Yeah. Well, and I wanted to heal my inner child, and remember at first I heard about inner child and I thought, "Ugh, I'm an adult. I don't have an inner child."
Yes.
I thought it was stupid. But
Well, it's
then
so
I realized,
foreign because that inner child had been neglected and hadn't ever been valued, most likely.
yeah,
So
no
it
value
was very foreign. You didn't understand it because you didn't know
at
it.
all. No,
So
understand
tell
it.
us, you've said it a few times, when I did that work and I healed myself, tell us about that healing. What did that journey look like?
Well, it looked like crying a lot.
Yep.
It looked like, how the hell do you do this? I got to figure this out, you know, like some of that. And part of the inner child, like I didn't know how to do that. And so I actually took a picture of myself when I was little and I'd go, I don't know who that is. I literally was like, okay. Like there was no zero connection because that was like, I'm here, you're young, I have nothing to do with you kind of energy, you know? And it took me a while. It took me a while, but I would look at that picture all the time and I would try to connect and try to connect and try to connect and see, that's me, that's me. You know, like that's what I knew at the time to do, or all I could think of to do at the time to try to connect. Because like you were saying, you know, when you're abused, you disconnect from who you are, you disconnect from your body. And then reducing stress. So I needed to reduce stress. And I had a friend say to me, I had a friend that stayed with me for a short time. She needed a place and she saw me running around and she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what do you mean? I was a single mom at the time, working two jobs and trying to make ends meet and stressed out. Financial stuff, you know, and I'm like, what do you mean? And she said, you're gonna kill yourself. You're running around, you're not getting sleep. And I'm like, she goes, you need to slow down. And I said, are you nuts? I can't slow down.
Don't have time for that.
I got a child to take care of. I got the whole list. There's no way that's gonna happen. And I learned that from my mother, always doing, working, 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 working. And we're trained that way, and we're programmed into that in this world. And so it's really hard to say, okay, yeah, I know I need to slow down, but how the hell do you even do it? So what I did was I got frustrated. So I remember sitting at my computer and I'm feeling frustrated because my mind was just going crazy, you know, making up stuff, you know how the mind
Yes.
is, and it's like stressed. And so I got up and I went and I sat on my couch and I just tried to quiet it for a minute, you know? And then I don't know, I just started stepping away in you know, away from my computer to try to quiet my mind. And I didn't even realize what I was doing. Now I call it my step away method.
Love it.
But yeah, it's like when your mind is going like that, move yourself to another location, like physically, because you that's movement, right? You're changing your
Yes.
what you're looking at, you're moving your body, and then sit and just be in quiet. I go deeper into it. You know, I have a little video clip on a site, my site. But yeah, so you literally get quiet for, you know, even a minute. Just try to get quiet. And so you just keep stepping away to try to quiet your mind. And I say I stepped away a lot in the beginning.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, but then eventually it quieted down. It got quieter and quieter. So that's how I started to, 'cause I couldn't meditate. You know, I couldn't do that. That was too much for me.
Yeah, I'm hearing you on that one. The brain just didn't shut off. It was constant. I feel that. I've lived that too. Yeah.
So in time, it's like, oh, you know, not the stuff. And then learning the self-love, then you don't have that self-beat up like you can have, like we have. And I started calling myself Honey Bunny and, you know, stuff like that. I don't do any of that anymore, but I had to do that kind of stuff back then to, because nobody else is loving and nurturing me. We've got to do it to ourselves. We didn't get it as kids. We have to give it to ourselves.
Yeah, so that
It's huge.
self-compassion is a huge piece.
Yes. Because when you think you're a piece of shit or you're damaged good, you rip on yourself. You don't value yourself. You don't think a lot of yourself. And so that's big because your body hears you when you do that. So every negative thought, every rip that you have on, you know, you look in the mirror and you rip on yourself, your body hears you.
Yes.
And that causes health problems. And we don't really think like that. We don't realize that, but it really does. Because if you think of like, say you like a boy and he comes over and you get, oh, he knocks on the door and oh, you get the immediate butterflies, you know, they go in you that fast. That fast. So that's how fast your thoughts are going into your body. You don't have butterflies in there, but in that second, you felt it. You felt
Absolutely.
that or that butterfly or whatever it is. So that's how fast your thoughts and emotions go in your body. And what happens when you have like a trauma, and it could be a small little thing, but it's how you interpret it. That
Exactly.
energy, if it's not processed through right away in that moment, it will sit in your body. And that energy is very dense. And then it's trapped in your body. And then your body wants it out, it wants it healed. So it will give you symptoms. It will give you symptoms to heal. It's not against you. Because I thought my body was against me. Why can't my body work like a normal person? I remember thinking that. But it's not against you. It's actually telling you, hey, this needs to be healed here. So I'm going to give you these symptoms, but then we don't know. And then we all covered up with maybe a drug or surgery or thinking we need to eat better when it's actually an emotional wound that's trapped in there that is doing that. And if you don't heal it, it'll get worse, it'll get louder. Or it'll pop up in another area of your body. So,
Yes, they definitely shift.
no.
Yeah, I love the way you've explained that is probably the best I've ever heard that explained. I just
Yeah.
think, yes, we get these messages, we're just not very good at listening or
Yeah.
tuning into it.
Yes.
So clearly you've managed to work out a way to do that. You recognize that that was what your body was doing. So tell us more about that.
Yeah. So Yeah, I'm really in tune with my body now because of that. But when you're in it, like start just like talk, you can talk to your body. I mean, it's important to go deeper. There's, much deeper because this is living in your subconscious. But you can even like sit in quiet and quiet your mind. That's the first part. Quiet your mind and just feel into your body. And you can even ask your body, what is it you're trying to tell me? Or what do you need right now? Or because we don't do that. Like, what do you need right now? Say we're hungry and we're like, oh, I don't have time. I got to go do this. That's you neglecting yourself. And we all do it. We've all done
Absolutely,
that.
definitely.
So, but yeah, so ignoring, I should say. And I get it. We're busy. I ignore my body a lot. So it's like stopping in that moment and going, okay, wait. Okay, what is it you're wanting right now? Okay. And then listen to it. And the thing too is we do get away from our intuitiveness and our intuition because of the trauma. And then we don't trust it. And then because of the disconnect with our body. So it takes a bit to get back to starting to get understand your intuition and that kind of thing and trust it too. So important.
Definitely, because we know that that intuition and that inner knowing is in that gut brain.
Yes.
So, and as we know, there's more and more work coming out around healing the gut, and that's exactly why, because trauma or old wounds, whether they're trauma or identity wounds or anything, emotional wounds will store the trauma and
Yeah.
will store that old stuff and that old emotional baggage until we recognize it. And all of that has to go somewhere. So that gut is usually where it's stored. So it makes sense as to why you had this huge bloating issue, because all of this was stored in your gut.
And I'll tell you when I was going through that narcissistic abuse, my body, I think my body had just and I myself too had hit a level that I'm like, I can't take it anymore. And so my body couldn't take it anymore. So what happened was my whole body started to twist. So my upper torso and my lower torso had like a little twist from just during the abuse, the energy of the abuse. And so it was hard to walk. I had my right leg. Or my right, the right part of my body, it was twisted this way. And so my weight distribution was on like my inner knee on my right leg. And so it was so painful because of all the weight going on that one spot. It was painful to walk. So I kind of was walking with a limp for a while. Like I could talk about damage of the body and I knew it was from that. But it's like, how do you even start to unwind that? At the time I was in it so deep, but yeah, so my body, as I healed too, that twist started to come back around. And then one of the things that I discovered too, when I healed, I didn't know how constricted my body, I mean, constricted in another way, my body was because, and that was my whole life. It was constricted, and it's hard to describe because you don't know until you heal it, like how constricted you are. But it was like, oh my God, I can move my hips. Like I was more fluid in my body. And so our center as a female, our center of gravity is our hips. And we're so in this masculine world of push, do that we're not in our body, we're not in our hips, So, yeah.
So recognizing that and being able to embrace all of you was a huge part of it, by the sound of it.
Yes, very much. Yeah. And like I said, you don't even realize how much you've held on to until you release it. And that's the key too, is to release it out of the body.
So, do you have a specific way that you were able to do that?
It was through the healing that I talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Because when you lessen the stress, when you love yourself, when you can own, your stuff, and let yourself feel through that, connect to your inner child. Yeah. And I do more work now with people than that because I've obviously learned along the way how to get in the subconscious and all that. But yeah, those are key to healing.
Yep.
And chronic health symptoms are your body's way of speaking to you that there's nothing wrong. You have way, way, way more control over your health than you have any idea. You have control over your health. You just need to know what your body needs. Yeah.
Yes, and I think that's the key, that we always look outward for something or someone to help us. And because that's the way society has taught us how to do. We need to buy the next pill or the next medication, the next injection, whatever it is, the next gym
Or take out
membership.
a body part. Yeah.
Yeah. And yet, really, you're saying that all of it is within, and it's up to us to unlock and start to heal ourselves. Yeah. I love that so much. So, you've said very much that it's up to us to take ownership and responsibility and that we can heal ourselves. So I'm just wondering, would you say, and I don't want to drag you back there, but I know that you've done the healing as much as you can. Would you say there's any core wound from your childhood that you now know may have been contributing to what was going on with you health-wise?
Yeah, shame. Shame is such a deep, deep wound. That one took me a bit to get past, a couple layers. I thought I had gotten rid of it, or shouldn't say gotten rid of, healed, maybe released. But then a few years later, it came up and I was like, what is this? Look, here it is again, But yeah, and it was just another layer of it that I had to release. So yeah, so it's like, everything is energy. So when my father would like he was very violent and he was a screamer and a yeller and all that. It's the energy of that is so emotionally damaging. It's the energy of that sticks in your body because you don't have anyone to talk to. I never heard I love you. Like all these things. It's really an energy thing too, that like we don't think about it in those terms, like it's energy, but or we maybe some people do. I didn't think of it in terms
No.
of energy. Just think of somebody yelling, like the energy. And I say this because I actually can see energy of words coming out of my mouth. Ever since my third eye opened, like I can, not always, but at times. And it's like those create such a damage inside of you that you really don't even have an identity, Because I remember when I was saying to my friend, like, I don't even know how to be in the world. This is when I was going through my deeper healing with after the narcissist. I don't even know how to be in the world. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. And of course, I'm out there successful and being in the world and normal and all that. But it's the stuff in here that, because it's like people have told me in my whole life, you're too nice and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, what's wrong with being nice? But yet it was walked on, of course, because the abuse me, sign on my forehead, because that's the energy that I learned of who I am, because that does become your identity. And that does become love to you in a way. It sounds weird, but that's what you learn love is.
Yeah, and I think it's also about keeping yourself safe.
Yeah.
That energy that you put out was exactly the energy you had to emit to keep yourself safe. So of course
Yeah.
that makes total sense.
One of my hardest things is being vulnerable. That, can you relate to that?
Oh, absolutely spot on. And I think particularly as you said, you look successful outwardly, you're doing all the things. So people think, oh, you've got your shit together. And the reality is they don't see what's going on inside because we learn to hide it,
Yep.
because we have this perception of how we're meant to show up in the world. And we ignore this part of ourselves and fear being vulnerable as a result and stay invisible. And once we recognize that and really do that identity work, we learn
Yeah.
how to show up differently in the world and that we can be safe.
Yeah.
That really is key to changing everything, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, and I was a hider. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm.
Hiding, so good at that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you
It's
had
crazy.
to. You
I
couldn't
will,
tell
yeah.
people what was going on at home and share any of that because it wouldn't have been safe. And in your marriage and in your next relationship with the narcissist, you had to protect yourself to keep safe, but also that shame was working its way through well and truly right through your whole nervous system. So it totally makes sense when you look at it.
Yeah. And it's so funny because when I started doing videos online, doing online stuff with my coaching, I had a coach say to me, "You need to tell a more vulnerable story." And so I'm like, "Well, like what?" And then I told her about the narcissist abuse and she goes, "That's the story you tell." And I was like, I literally got a flash of a man in a trench coat going, "What?"
Oh,
explaining
yes.
himself. That's what I felt like. And I was like, oh my God. And I literally was sick for a month. Like, I was sick to my stomach for a month because shame that I went through that, and I allowed that, like all the, but I had to work through that. Now, of course, I have no problem talking about it, but you make up these things in your mind, like the damaged goods, like, oh my God, what are people going to think of me? Why would you allow some narcissist to abuse you? Like, this is what you tell yourself and making yourself wrong. And yeah, like people, what are people going to think? And so then you have that fear of that when that's all made up in your mind. It's not true. I mean, it's like people are like glad, oh my God, I went through that, But at the time, I just thought I was going to be judged and ridiculed. And but it's not that at all.
No,
My
so as
mind.
you did that healing work and you opened yourself up, worked through the shame and the different layers of that and learned how to be vulnerable. Now I feel so blessed that you're here sharing your story openly, being vulnerable and telling us,
Yeah.
the deeper parts of that, because I know that there are so many other people who will benefit from hearing your story and knowing, oh my goodness, you can be okay. You can get through this.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like I'm very peaceful inside. I'm calm. My gut's fine. I'm like I attracted my soulmate, and that's pure resonance because the vibrating at that level. So yeah, I mean that's something that you can get to because when you've had that abuse, you tend, at least me, I shouldn't say you, but people that are abused tend to be alone. So I'm a loner. So I was alone for years, barely dated, because my identity of myself is a loner. And I think it's just that subconscious thing too, that it's safer,
Yes, of course.
And yeah, and then healing deeper levels of myself and stuff. And then yeah, and then attracted my soulmate. So yeah, it's crazy. Never thought
So,
that would happen.
as you did the healing and stepped forward and became more willing to be vulnerable and show up differently and really looked at who you were and your identity as a person, I know you moved forward into the work you now do. So I'd love for you to share a bit more around the work you do now.
Yeah. So as I started working with people, sorry, let me go back a second. When I went through my healing, my third eye opened. So I started seeing energy. I see colors. I was telling you, purple. I see purple all over. It's hard to describe, but I see purple. Sometimes I could see the pixelation. So I do see a lot of things, and so that started opening up. So then, a few years later, I'm coaching, and as I'm working with people, I started to feel what they're feeling. And it's like I started to go, am I feeling that? I'm not quite sure. You start questioning, not sure. Then I started to trust it. Now I'll just say, oh, this is what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Now I'm, well, it sounds arrogant. I'm always right on, but
Not arrogant at all. It's obviously your gift. You're very much able to attune to that and pick that up, which I love.
So it's like I'm right there with them when I start, because one of the things that I do is I guide them in their body, and even when I'm not guiding them, I feel them. But what I guide them in their body, and I help them to go into their subconscious to see like what's going on, what they're holding, what emotion is there, and help them to release it. But as we're doing it, I can also be like, yeah, there might be another layer because we haven't quite hit it. And then it was like, oh, then I'll get a flood. And I was like, oh, that's it. Like I can feel it. Or sometimes I even feel sick. I'll start thing because that's their body when I release it that I'm feeling when I people. This one time I was like, oh, I have this client that when we first met, I'm like, wow, you are holding a lot. She was with it. She's a narcissist thing. So, I mean, it was like, whoa. I just like the whole call. I'm like, wow. I mean, I could just like, flooding in me like massively.
That would have been really tough, I would imagine, for you to hold that.
And but it's like it's at the moment, but then it's gone, when I, so I don't hold it, but I feel it. I'm like there with them, and their body, I guess, is speaking through me. I didn't really think of it till just now, but it's kind of speaking through me in a way,
And I imagine that you would have to put things in place to keep yourself safe from not taking on board too much and being able to shed that and leaving it behind.
I can do that. I don't take it in.
So it's absolutely a huge gift that you've got.
I mean, I would have never thought this when I was going through all the pain of, the abuse and then the gut issues and all the years. I mean, 19 years. And I'm so desperate to get well. I tried everything under the sun. This is crazy, but I even went to Mexico to a cancer clinic because I knew somebody that went there. They do all natural things down there. So I'm okay, I'm gonna go to Mexico and maybe that'll do it. Well, it didn't, because I didn't heal the emotions. But the thing is, I was determined to get well. Yeah, it took me a long time, but I was determined to figure it out. So I feel like that narcissist had to come in my life, or I wouldn't be here right now. Even though it was painful, I had to have that to hit the rock bottom to heal so I can help others.
And I'm a firm believer, and all the guests that I have on this show, we talk about trauma as being a gift. That it, no, it was awful to go through. Of course, we're not saying it was wonderful, and oh, thank goodness I did that. It was really awful, really challenging. However, there were lessons and learnings in that experience, experiences, ongoing experiences, whatever it was that people had, that you've been able to take the lessons and the learnings from and somehow make that work for you to pay it forward to others and change lives. So I think that's really powerful.
Huge. Oh my gosh. I mean, and I work with like doctors, nurses, pharmacists, other health professionals. And for some reason, I was starting to attract that, you know? And it's like they're seeing that, hey, this isn't working what I've been doing, you know? And to see them heal and get well is, it's rewarding, as you know, because you do it too. Yeah.
And it really, knowing that you can help facilitate that change in someone else
Yeah.
is, yeah, it's next level, isn't it? It's like, yes.
It is. It's rewarding. I love it. I've had people say, you know, when I tell them what I do, like just people around here, you know, they're like, wait, how can you listen to people's complaints or stuff all the time? So they see it that way. I don't see it that way at all. Not at all. And you're the same. And it's like, no, I don't know. It's not like that at all. It's like people are hurting. They need somebody, and I can hold that space for them, and they feel that. And yeah, it's like it's a thing that you do for people that not a lot of people could do. Like I couldn't be a nurse, you know.
Oh, not me either.
It's like so that those people can they're good at that. You have that. This is my thing.
So if you
We
could
all have our
share
thing.
one thing with our listeners that would help them as they navigate their trauma through post-trauma or adversity and move them into post-traumatic growth, what would it be?
I want you to know that this is a mindset thing. You have control. It's all within you to do. You have way more control over yourself and your health than you have any idea. Like you really, really do. And I think this is the journey to go into that and heal it. I think that's the journey here to expand ourselves, because I've always been driven to expand. So you obviously on this call or this listening to this are, or you wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
So it's like you're being called to expand. And it takes going within to do that. And sometimes it's painful. But I'm telling you, the other side is so rewarding. It's so rewarding. And so, and as you're doing this too, is you are raising your frequency, which I believe is part of the journey too, that the higher we raise our frequency, we are healing other people because you're bringing it up. The frequency up in this world, which is pretty dense.
Yes. Yeah, I love that so much. Thank you for that. And as
Yeah.
we move to wrapping the conversation up, where can our listeners find out more about you and find you online?
Yeah. So jodijaleen.com. So it's JodiGeline.com is my website.
Excellent. And we'll put that in our show notes so everyone can do it. And I know you're also, you've got a YouTube channel, Instagram, Facebook. So we'll put all that in there. So I would highly recommend you go and check Jodie out and see some of the amazing work that she does and connect with her.
Yeah. And then you can get the gift in there to, I have a free gift in there that you can get to help you to slow down the mind.
Oh, I look forward to that. And thank you again for being so generous. That'll be in the show notes as well. It's a piece of my heart.net backslash
Yes. Yeah.
quiz, but I'll put that in there. So,
Oh,
yes.
yes. The body emotion connection quiz. And that will help you like learn what the connection is to your emotions, to your body, and then what you can do to heal that.
Well, I'm excited to take that and see what shows up.
Yeah.
Thank
Yeah.
you for that. Now, I
Yeah.
always love to ask my guests one last question, and this one might challenge you a little more, given you don't have the memory of that. What do you think your younger self would think of what you've done and everything you're doing now and what you've achieved?
Think she'd be pretty shocked. I think she'd be pretty surprised. Let me try to connect in. I feel like, yeah, I feel like she would be proud. Yeah, and just in amazement that, wow. Wow, I'm feeling her. I can feel it. It's making my eyes water. Yeah, so that it's not knowing that it's even possible to do. Because when you're in that, you know nothing else. Like, wow, that's actually possible.
Got goosebumps when you said that. So yes, she'll definitely be very proud.
I
And
didn't.
you've got so much still to give and to do in the world. So I'm so grateful that we've connected and really
Yeah, me
excited
too.
about where we can take this in the future.
Yeah, so many people need our help.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I wish I had someone like me when I was going through all this. You
Oh,
know, I didn't have.
same. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and your huge amounts of wisdom. I'm so grateful. And I look forward to hearing our listeners' comments and hoping that they connect with you, because I think we all have so much we can gain from connecting in with you and your wisdom. Thank you so
Yeah, thank
much.
you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. Thank you for spending this time with me on Growing Tall Poppies. My hope is that today's episode has offered you something more than insight, that it's helped you feel a little more connected to who you are now, a little more trusting of your body, and a little more permission to stand tall without shrinking or forcing yourself forward. Post-traumatic growth isn't about fixing yourself or returning to who you once were. It's about understanding how you adapted, honoring your nervous system, and gently choosing what no longer needs to come with you. New episodes of Growing Tall Poppies are released weekly, every Tuesday, and I'd love for you to continue walking this path with us as we explore identity after adversity, integrity and visibility wounds, nervous system wisdom, and what it truly means to grow forward, grounded, aligned, and embodied. If this episode resonated, I invite you to subscribe, follow, share it with someone that you feel might need it, or simply take a quiet moment to reflect on what's ready to move forward for you. You can also find me on Instagram at Dr. Nat Green, on Facebook at Dr. Natalie Green, or over on YouTube at Dr. Nat Green. And remember, you don't need to rush, but you don't need to hide anymore. And remember, you don't need to rush, and you don't need to hide anymore. Stay connected, stay true, and keep standing tall like the tall poppy you are. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now.